in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen. Music with Peter Van Steeden. New features, new music, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. Ah, listen to that crowd cheer Fred Allen as he heads his weekly parade to the old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with a celery stalk, followed by those dead beats of the theater, the mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join that happy throng. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Here they come. Psychologists.
Can't psychology find a way to make the country laugh, Professor?
America doesn't need psychology to laugh on Wednesday, madam. It's Town Hall tonight.
Want ad clients.
What is the want ad you're inserting, madam?
Lady with 60 minutes would like to meet Gent with a radio. It's Town Hall tonight.
Ear doctor.
You expect me to cure your deafness by 9 p.m., madam?
Yes, Doc. I must be able to hear by this evening. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, here we are inside the old Town Hall. And here's Peter Van Steeden opening the show with Cry Baby Cry. Let it go, Peter.
Cry, baby, cry. Cry, baby, cry. Just the way I did the day you broke my heart.
Cry, baby, cry. You flew too high.
Tables turned and now you've learned you're not so smart. You broke every promise. You couldn't be true. You gave me the goodbye for somebody new when I needed you. So cry, baby, cry. My eyes are dry. I'm laughing up my sleeve to see my cry, baby, cry. You broke every promise. You couldn't be true. Somebody knew when I needed you, so cry, baby, cry. My eyes are dry. I'm laughing up my sleeve to see my cry, baby, cry.
Presenting that mad, merry mountebank, mumbling mealy mimicries, mouthing mighty manifestos, muttering multitudinous microphonies, Manchester's mummer, Maine's Mickey Moose,
what's
Fred...
What's his name again?
I'll have it in a minute. Maine's up. Mickey Moose, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, when you've come to the end of a perfect day, there's nothing like gumming the whole thing up by tuning into the old Town Hall. And tonight, the Fiesta Resistance is the Town Hall news. The curtain, Andre.
Coming right down, Fred.
Thank you. The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The Town Hall news sees nothing, feels for you each week. New York City, New York. As the seasonal curtain drops on the Broadway theater this month, many actors turn their attention to the Summer Playhouse. Little theater groups spring up in barns and haylofts around the country, affording a haven for actors, producers, and directors when activity in the Broadway theater practically disappears. In an effort to get the lowdown on rural theater outlook for the coming summer, Town Hall News interviews several theatrical nobodies identified with obscure bucolic enterprises in past seasons. First, a theater promoter from Jersey, Mr. Neptune Fegg. Mr. Fegg.
Right on deck, brother. Who's asking a question?
Well, I'll ask the questions, Mr. Fegg, if you don't mind.
Okay, okay. I got all the answers. Let's go.
Now, how did you get into the summer theater last season?
Well, nothing was doing around Broadway.
Things were bad, hey?
Bad? Why, it was so tough, I tied a string on my last nickel and was living in the automat.
You were trolling for calories, as it were.
Now, look, will you let me tell it, Bud?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Fegg. I didn't mean to butt in.
All right. Well, along about June, the string on my nickel broke and I had to check out of the automat.
You stopped eating?
I was getting so thin, every time I closed the zipper on my shirt, my thumb was running down the knobs on my spine.
Your thumb fixed that up, didn't it? Well,
I guess your thumb is a little weary from hitchhiking in to be with us tonight. But how ticklish, Mr. Fay.
I had me belt pulled in so tight, the buckle was buckled onto the buckle.
Well, what happened?
I started to see food in my sleep. One night I dreamed I was surrounded by hams.
An omen?
Right. The next day I organized the Shakespearean barter and repertoire players.
Well, how did you get the actors?
I got a guy to drop a quarter on 46th Street. I had a cast in 2 minutes.
And your barter company opened in Jersey?
Right. The first week we done Romeo and Juliet. The gross was 60 bushels of potatoes.
You paid the actors off in potatoes?
Yep. The second week, Taming of the Shrew played the 200 heads of cabbage. The actors got cabbage.
Well, didn't they complain?
The leading man quit. He was a meat eater.
Well, how was business during the rest of the summer?
It was hit and run, brother. Then came the drought.
Well, did that affect your receipts?
And how? The fifth week I counted up, I thought we had Brussels sprouts.
And?
They were stunted cabbages. That was the beginning of the end.
You finally had to give up.
When farmers started planking shrunk peas down at the box office and saying they was drought cantaloupes, I land.
What became of your actor?
I often wonder, brother, I often wonder.
Well, look around. They may be on the program, and thank you, Mr. Neptune Fay.
Next, the tragedian who has said farewell to the summer theater for all times, Mr. Gaffney Leotard. Mr. Leotard.
3 seasons as Dr. Clitterhouse in the amazing Dr. Clitterhouse.
But the amazing Dr. Clitterhouse only ran 1 season, Mr. Leotard.
I rehearsed 2 seasons before I opened.
You're a slow study, I see. But what about your summer theater experiences?
I was engaged to appear with the Sock and Buskin players at Leafy Dell, Vermont.
At Leafy Dell, one of my favorite spots. Did the group have a theater?
They were presenting a season of Ibsen in a bus terminal.
Ibsen in a bus terminal?
I, Gaffney Leotard, flaunting my histrionic wares in a bus terminal. If Sir Beerbohm Tree but knew, he would blossom in his grave.
Well, did the buses interfere with your performance?
In the second act, I, Gaffney Leotard, had to walk upstage while the Greyhound bus for Boston passed through the set.
You mean this went on every performance?
No matter what the play, always in the second act, Gaffney Leotard gave stage for a prairie gondola. 3 seasons with the amazing Dr. Clitterhouse to end up stooging for a bus.
Well, couldn't you time the bus's intrusion?
Yes. I finally wrote in a cue for the bus driver.
And everything was all right?
No. The second week, the bus started getting a reception.
With Gaffney Leotard on stage?
Yes, 3 seasons as the amazing Dr. Clitterhouse.
Oh, the futility of it all.
My exact words to Equity. But Gaffney Leotard had his revenge.
Good. What happened?
The third week, we were playing the Wild Duck. The bus drove on in the second act.
Yes.
The bus got a terrific reception. The bus driver got out to take a bow.
Yes.
While the driver was bending over, Gaffney Leotard mounted the bus and drove out of the summer theater for all times.
Huzzah!
That was the audience's reaction, yes.
Thank you.
3 seasons with the amazing Dr. Clitterhouse.
And you were going to the dogs.
I took the Greyhound, yes.
Mr. Gaffney Leotard, would you pick up that ermine that fell off your vest, Mr. Leotard? Sophie!
Miss Sophie Lamour, a specialty dancer, also appeared at a summer theater. Miss Sophie Lamour.
No more for me, not little old artistic yours truly.
Well, where did you play, Miss Lamour?
Corn Cob, New Jersey.
Corn Cob?
Yeah, it's right off the main stem, past Passaic.
I see. Were you with a dramatic group?
Yeah, it was the Peter Pan Puppeteers.
The Peter Pan
Yeah, they was putting on all of Eugene O'Neill's stuff.
Oh, Gene O'Neill, very well known. Well, did you play the lead?
No, but if they was playing like a strange interlude, I'd come out during the interlude and do me bubble dance.
That certainly made the interlude strange, didn't it?
Yeah, I was the added attraction. They billed me queen of the riffraff.
Queen? Well, you're ruling some kingdom, I must say. What turned you against the summer playhouse?
Mosquitoes, mister.
Mosquitoes?
Why, I used to look like a stand-in for a swamp.
Well, couldn't you swat them?
Doing a bubble dance? I got three hands, maybe?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Say, it's fortunate for you artistically that the mosquitoes...
Didn't break me bubble?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was too smart for them, mister.
You resorted to chicanery?
And how? I buttered me bubble.
You buttered your bubble?
Yeah, their stingers kept slipping off.
Some skid.
You ain't so bad yourself, big boy.
Thank you, and get out, Miss Sophie Lameau.
A resort owner who tried the summer theater last season, but who won't sponsor it this year, Mr. Sebastian Lapidus. Mr. Lapidus.
When it's coming to the show game, Sebastian Lapidus is again a landlord.
Well, why are you against the summer theater, Mr. Lapidus?
He's asking, so I'm telling. Cock an ear about it.
Okay.
For 20 years, Sebastian Lapidus is running the oldie Yankee Hacienda. A high-class resort.
You are catering to a summer clientele?
Catering, that's another business. Lapidus is running a hotel.
I mean, you have a vacation resort.
Communing with nature by Lapidus is compulsory. Lapidus is giving boating, with bathing, dancing in the pines, with three meals you couldn't eat. And for what it's costing you, I am losing money.
Well, how do you keep open?
Well, confidentially. I am living here personally on the cough.
Oh, I see, I see. But what about the theater?
Well, last summer, my wife is insisting the nights by the guests is up as dull. I shall open maybe a summer theater. It will boom in business.
And you did?
What can I lose? I'm in receivership. I am calling New York. They shall send me a company cheap actors. I saw the sizes. This is starting the calamity with a capital K.
What happened when the actors got here?
First they are saying, it will take a week to rehearsal it. With this, they are going to dinner.
Where did they rehearse?
Always at the table they are rehearsing. They wouldn't miss a meal. This is burning me up a little.
But you weren't real mad.
No, abyssal.
Abyssal.
But gradually, knives with forks and spoons is missing. Then towels is disappearing. Finally, I am catching an actor bootlegging butter.
Did you take any action?
Not yet. Something tells me, laying low, Lapidus, one day they will going too far. And suddenly, it's coming. Every guest is checking out.
When did it happen?
The night they are putting on the show.
The guests left. The play was so bad.
Who knows? It's in English.
Thank you, Mr. Lapidus.
But in spite of this and that, the summer theater will again flourish this year, and many a tragedian playing Shakespeare in a barn will be pleasantly surprised at the instant service he receives when he reads these lines.
A horse, a horse! My kingdom for a horse!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Merry Max. Tonight they swing My Darling Clementine, the Merry Max.
In a cavern, in a canyon, excavating for a mine, dwelt a miner, 49er, and his daughter, Clementine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine, you were lost and gone forever, dreadful sorry Clementine. Light she was and like a fairy, and her shoes were number 9. Herring boxes without topses, sandals were for Clementine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine. You are lost and gone forever,
awfully sorry, Clementine. She was sweet and only 20, and she promised faithfully to be mine. But she went away and left me. Now I'm blue and all alone. How I miss my Clementine. Oh, my darling Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, ever and ever. Terribly sorry, Clementine. Oh, how I miss her. Oh, how I miss her. Oh, how I miss my sweet Clementine. She's gone away now, so far away now. She's gone away, my sweet Clementine. Oh, how I miss my sweet Clementine.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now that the excitement has quieted down and we're more or less alone...
Hi there, Mr. Allen, and good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you, sir.
Well, I just want to say I've been listening to your program for over a year, and it isn't often you've given me cause to regret the time and expense involved.
Well, thanks a lot, and thanks terribly.
So tonight I'm here to make the goodwill gesture supreme. I'm here to get a large free sample bottle of Sal Hepatica.
Well, I'm afraid you've been a little too impulsive, because there is definitely no large free sample of Sal Hepatica.
Well, now, confidentially, Mr. Allen, do you think that's a wise move? I mean, to expect folks to buy something before they try it.
Well, you see, people have been buying Sal Hepatica now for more than 40 years. Cautious people like yourself, too, because so many physicians have recommended it, and because their friends tell them how it always proves its worth.
Aye, that's a good point. So you think it's a good investment, do you, Mr. Allen?
Well, I certainly do, and Andre Baruch will tell you why.
When you start the day off feeling grouchy and under par, a sparkling glass of Sal Hepatica will help you feel your best again quickly.
And why is that, sir?
Well, because the two things that usually cause a sluggish, headachy feeling are the two very things Sal Hepatica was especially made to get after. Accumulated wastes and gastric acidity. It will pay everyone and pay them well to remember that. Why not get a bottle of this famous Sal Hepatica from your drugstore tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen? And the very next time you feel under the weather and need a laxative, put two teaspoonfuls in a glass of water and drink it. Soon your head's clearer and you're back to your normal, healthy, buoyant self again when you rely on the double help of Sal Hepatica.
Troubadours have just played Mumminez and the Peanut Vendor. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet...
Is there anyone I know, Fred?
Well, I don't think so, Andre. Our guest tonight is going to clear up an important question once and for all.
Say, you're not interviewing Professor Quiz, Fred.
No, Andre, but I am checking up on our town hall quartet. You know, every spring and fall, the boys show up around here with hunting suits and guns. The minute the program is over, they rush out of the studio, apparently to go hunting.
Hunting what, Fred?
Who knows? All I've ever seen them bag is the knees of their pants. But something tells me they couldn't even corner a field mouse in a sugar bowl. And tonight I'm going to find out.
Well, how, Fred?
Well, I've invited the fellow who acts as the guide for the boys on these futile backwoods treks to drop in and give us the lowdown.
Oh, swell.
Our guest tonight, Andre, has spent his entire life up in the woods. He's an expert guide and an authority on matters that concern the Nimrod and the amateur manipulator of rod and reel. And so tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet that man about trout and deer, Mr. Ray Smith. Good evening, Ray.
Good evening, Fred.
Ray, the boys tell me in raucous tones that you are a combination Isaac Walton and a domestic Frank Buck.
Well, if you're talking about hunting and fishing, Fred, that's my business.
Well, you certainly look like the perfect woodsman, Ray, with your bronze complexion.
Well, I'm part Indian, Fred. My grandfather was half Cherokee.
Say, you know that my great-grandfather was part Indian too, Ray? He was low man on a totem pole many years ago.
I never heard of him, Fred.
Well, no, you wouldn't hear of him, Ray. He never amounted to much in the better Indian circles. He used to sneak off and sell transfusions. Get a little blanket money, you know. He finally ended up a half-breed and was chased out of the tribe. And that's really why I look so anemic tonight.
Oh, you don't look so bad, Fred.
Well, I have got a little color this evening, Ray. I picked up a slight windburn at a conference this afternoon. P.W. turned on me suddenly. I wasn't prepared. But tell me, Ray, where do you do your hunting and fishing?
Around Phoenicia, New York.
Phoenicia?
Yes, it's up in the Catskills.
Well, I thought the Catskills were so overrun with tourists and social directors these days that the only game left up there was pinochle.
But you can bag plenty up my way, Fred.
Well, I don't really know much about the country, Ray. The nearest I've ever come to really getting into the woods was the summer I spent 2 weeks helping a window dresser at Abercrombie and Fitch. But say, how is the fishing around Phoenicia?
The best in the country, Fred. Our waters are stocked with 100,000 trout each year.
100,000 trout?
Haven't you ever been trout fishing, Fred?
Well, no, Ray. I've never fished for trout, but I have fished for eels. I never have any trouble catching eels. I just go way back up the river and throw a box of starch in the water. You see, the eel stiffens instantly. Then I follow him down to the first bend in the river. The eel can't make the turn. He swims straight on up the bank, and I pounce on him.
Well, trout won't bite on starch, Fred.
Well, that's certainly news to me. Shows you how little I know about the woods. Well, what bait do you use? Worms or old mandolin picks?
No, the expert used only artificial flies.
Well, couldn't you use real flies?
We could if we could catch them, Fred, but it's harder to catch the flies than it is the trout.
Well, if the real flies are too quick for you, naturally you'd have to use a substitute. Well, do you make your own artificial bait?
Yes, Fred, I tie about 12,000 flies a year.
12,000 flies. You know, that's more than the Brooklyn outfield will drop this season. But you don't use up 12,000 flies alone, surely?
No, I sell them.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad to know that. If I ever need any, I'll certainly get in touch with you.
Well, you can write me in care of Wagner's Sporting Goods Store, Phoenicia, New York.
I'll write that on my cuff tonight, Wagner's Sporting Goods Store. But how many, I'll have it a month from now, I'll put it on this cuff here that I've got on tonight. But how many trout do you think your flies fool annually, Ray?
Well, I don't keep books, Fred, but I guess thousands of them.
You know, I often say a fish is like a bad actor. If he keeps his mouth shut, he'll never get the hook. But enough of... I have special little jokes that only Uncle Jim laughs. You hear Uncle Jim? That was a little fish joke for Uncle Jim. But enough about my first appearance on the stage. How big do trout run up your way?
Well, they come as high as 7 pounds. The biggest trout I ever caught was 6 pounds, 10 ounces.
Well, is it true that some fish are foxier than others?
Absolutely. They get smarter as they grow older.
The weak fish don't get Saturdays and Sundays off, do they, with these new rules? But tell me, do fish go to sleep at night?
Well, I don't know if they actually sleep, but they lie dormant on a rock for hours at a time.
Say, if a fish does sleep, you know, it must be an awful blow to a herring who falls asleep in the middle of the ocean and then wakes up in Rubens wearing a halo of pickled onions.
Well, I wouldn't know, Fred.
Well, naturally. But you've made trout fishing sound so interesting, Ray. I'd like to come up and join you sometime.
Fine, Fred, but if you get tired of hunting, I'll take you hunting.
Well, wait a minute. Now, let's get... Which am I going to do? If I get tired of fishing, you'll take me hunting.
Well, I'll take you hunting.
Oh, we could just skip the fishing and go hunting and then have more hunting later, you see. Sort of a double-decker. Well, I wouldn't mind going hunting. I'll get some dental floss, put on my bow and arrow. There I can do it. Well, what sort of game do you get up there?
All kinds, Fred. I've shot deer, fox, coons, and bear.
Which animal do you enjoy pursuing most?
Hunting bear, I think.
Hunting bear. Well, if I was Jack Benny... If I was Jack Benny, I hate to think of the stale joke I would say when you said hunting bear.
Well, does Jack hunt bear, Fred?
Around the scalp, yes, at all times. You know that if Benny ever puts his head in an ostrich nest, he's a cinch to get it hatched out. Then we'll see if there's a yolk in that thing he's got on his neck there. But tell me, Ray, what is so exciting about hunting bear?
Well, bears are smart, Fred, and when a bear knows you're on his trail, he does all sorts of tricks to throw you off the scent.
You mean he'll hop on one foot to make you think he's a pogo stick?
Well, almost.
Well, what tricks do they employ?
Well, let's say a mother bear and her two cubs are preparing to hibernate.
You mean going into a cave for the winter?
Yes, and if you're following those three bears across the snow, you'll only see one set of tracks.
One? Well, where are the little ones, riding piggyback on the mother?
Now the cubs are walking behind her.
The mother has trained the cubs to walk in her tracks. Is that right?
That's right. Sometimes you'll find a spot where a cub has left a pair of his own. Then you'll see the signs of a fight.
You mean the mater bear has clawed the stuffings out of little Junior for ad-libbing a track?
That's right.
Well, are bears ferocious, Ray?
Well, a black bear is more afraid of man than a man is of the bear.
Well, now, wait a minute. Don't speak too loosely. That might not work out in my case. I might just be the exception. But in all of the time that you've hunted the resourceful Bruin, has one of them ever given you a good scare, Ray?
Only once, Fred.
What happened?
Well, I poked my nose in what I thought was an empty cave.
And?
Well, just I poked my nose in, the bear poked his nose out.
What did you do, Ray?
About 60 miles an hour, Fred.
60 miles an hour. Well, that's not bad without leaving the ground. But before we break up this gamey conversation, Ray, I wish you'd answer a question for me.
I'll be glad to, Fred.
Well, I know the boys in the Town Hall Quartet, Tubby, Scrappy, Len, Bob, and Ken, go up hunting with you every year. Now, this is... Come a little closer, Ray. This is off the record. What kind of hunters are the boys?
Well, confidentially, Fred...
That's all I wanted to know. And thank you a lot for this little visit. It's certainly been a pleasure to take this verbal ramble with you in the woods.
Thank you, Fred, and good night.
And good night, Ray Smith. And now those dude hunters, ladies and gentlemen. Phoenicia's favorite deer and trout missus, who can be reached care of Wagner's Sporting Goods Store. The Town Hall Quartet. Tonight the boys... You'll never be allowed up there after tonight. You know that, don't you? Tonight the boys show off vocally and sing the Wide Open Spaces.
Hi-oh, a lonesome cowboy. I long for the places that I know. Hi-oh! Oh, I went down to Madison Square Garden and rode in the rodeo last year.
And now I'm back in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Hi-oh! And I ain't so doggone happy to be here. Take me back to the wide open places.
Let me bask neath a bright neon light
all night.
Let me see those sun-rayed faces in the wide open places that are open, open all night.
You can have your boots and saddles, you can take your rolling plane.
Get along, little donkey, and don't come back again. Let me dance in some Broadway oasis
in the shade of the big apple tree.
On those small, narrow spaces, in the wide open places that are open, open till three.
Every day it's the same old roundup. Every day,
same old way, way out west. No more cattle I'll be counting. No more coming round the mountain, getting high old silver off my chest. You can have your hills and valleys, you can take your rocky range.
But here's one lonesome cowboy
who's pining for a change.
Take me back to the wide open places
where a guy gets as high as a kite. On those small narrow spaces in the wide open places that are open, open all night.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet an old friend of mine, Sonny Boy Hawkins. He used to be a headliner in vaudeville, and now he's a Broadway producer. You are putting on shows now, aren't you, Sonny Boy?
Yeah, I figure it's a nice, clean way to lose your mind.
Things are not going so good?
Oh, I got a play and the money to produce it, but up until yesterday, I couldn't find a girl to play the lead in it.
Why, Sonny Boy, New York is full of girls.
Yeah, and I've seen them all. Either they can't act or they got no But yesterday, Fred, a girl came in the office. No Helena Troy, mind you, just a girl. But when she smiled, all of a sudden it was Christmas Eve and Santa Claus was coming down the chimney.
Did you sign her up?
Did I sign her up? And did I tell her to take care of that smile? It's your career, I told her.
And so it is. A smile that's a knockout is mighty important to everyone, no matter who they are or what they do. That's why Andre says...
For your smile's sake, use Ipana toothpaste, ladies and gentlemen, and use it regularly. Because Ipana is especially designed not only to clean and brighten your teeth, but when used with massage, to help give your gums the toning and stimulation they do not get from the soft, well-cooked foods we eat. Now, since modern dentistry not only suggests, but emphasizes that gums as well as teeth need daily care, why not do as so many people already do and as so many dentists advise?
Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, put a little extra Ipana on your fingertip or on one of the new double-duty toothbrushes and massage it on your gums.
When you do that, ladies and gentlemen, it will help bring a new firmness to your gums, a brighter luster to your teeth, and naturally, more charm to your smile. Start tomorrow to make your smile one you can be really proud of. Stop at your druggist's and buy Ipana toothpaste. Town Hall tonight continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification.
Thank you. Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played a section of I've Got Rhythm. Now, on Thursday night, here in the Town Hall, ladies and gentlemen, the daughters of Elizabeth Arden will meet for wrinkle drill. Now?
Lester Allen!
Now, quiet, please. If that's a page, wet your thumb and turn yourself over.
Hello.
Thank you. Well, sir, what am I? Well, sir, they... What are you laughing at? You mean, looking, there is a joke on the next page. I don't mind there, but here there's nothing I see. Well, sir, I'll prove it in just a minute. Well, sir, they laughed when I said I'd let the cat out of the bag. They didn't know I was going to rip the vacuum cleaner wide open. See, I told you it was nothing I could have said before. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, you know, I just got a postcard from Harry Von Zell.
Harry Von Zell. Say, that name sounds familiar.
Oh, you're joking. You know Harry Von Zell.
Harry Von Zell. You don't mean that fat guy who used to wave the applause card around here every time he said anything?
You know who I mean.
Well, all right, if I know, I know. Why don't you get your voice leveled out sometime? It's going uphill and down dale there. But what does Harry's postcard say?
It says, "Dear Portland, see the postcard I sent Andre Baruch. Ha ha."
What's that ha ha?
I don't know. Oh, here's a P.S. It says, "This ha-ha is a laugh for Fred. He can probably use one."
Oh, yes? Nobody has to mail in any laughs to me. I can get
them
at the source, or I...
Oh, hello, Andre. Did you get a postcard from Harry Von Zell?
Why, yes, one came this morning. Say, Harry must be way back in the woods.
Why, were there opossum tracks on the card?
No, but there's a 2-cent stamp on it, and Washington needs a shave.
Oh, he's way back in the woods.
My postcard says to see your postcard, Andre.
Yes, what has that bog buffoon got to say?
My postcard just says...
Wait a minute, let's get it straight. What did you get, a pot card here or a postcard? Might be a bundle. What are the... Any strings on it?
My card just says that if you and Portland want a good laugh, see the postcard I sent to Peter Van Steeden.
Gee, I wonder what Peter's postcard says.
Well, let's find out. Oh, Peter.
Yes, Andre.
Did you get a postcard from Harry Von Zell today?
Did I? Oh, boy.
What does it say, Peter?
I've got it right here. It says, "Dear Petey." Von Zell and I are like that.
Well, who's combing your hair lately? Where are you? You better get that hair down, or the Oceda mob people can claim you in 30 days. Von Zellen, you won't be like that if he sees that hair comb. Well, never mind your infatuation. How does that libelous message read?
It says, "Dear Petey Wheaty."
Dear Petey Wheaty.
We'll be back next Wednesday.
Hooray!
What are you cheering for, Andre?
Say, that's right. I'll be out of a job, won't I?
Why, you're apt to be with us for life, Andre. It all depends on this message. Go ahead, Frightwig Van Steeden.
If that's sarcasm, go skin your teeth.
Now listen, read that card before I fire you and your discordant gypsies and put a nickel piano on the program.
Okay, if you put it that way.
It's put and take, and I can put it.
And I can take it.
Peter.
He says, "I heard the city is hiring men to pick up all the chewing gum on Broadway. One big heel can pick up that gum. What is Alan doing?" Boy, is that Von Zell funny.
Is that far? He's as funny as a Mickey Finn in a baby's milk bottle. And that goes for you, too.
Oh, yeah? Do you want a battle of wits, Alan?
Do I?
Okay, get another half-wit and let's go.
Well, you're here.
What's that, a wisecrack?
You don't want me to scrape you off the fat end of that baton, do you?
Just start something. You know what Armstrong did to Ross?
Was Armstrong fighting Betsy Ross?
Now look, Portland. Why don't you go out and blow up your bubble gum and look for slow leaks? Wait till Von Zell shows up around here. Come in.
Okay, come right in, Ed.
Right on your heels, Mr. Guff.
Say, hey, what is this? Who are you two guys?
My card, Bud. Ferguson Guff, artist representative and talent scout.
Now, look, we never have gone in for talent on this program, and it's too late to start a trend at this late date.
I'm presenting something every radio show can use, brother.
You mean a listener?
It's an echo, brother.
Now, look, I need an echo like I need another Adam's apple.
Oh, yeah? Why is it you comedians ain't getting any laughs these days?
Well, people could be getting wise, you know.
Nope, you're wrong, Bud. It's because people only hear your jokes once. They don't get them. Now, if they heard your jokes twice, maybe they'd sink in.
So what?
I'm presenting my latest discovery, the wonder of the age, Ed Albany, the human echo.
What do you mean, the human echo?
You'll find out. Say something to him, Bud.
I have nothing to say. Hey, what was that? What's he trying to do?
Get the idea? Ed talks right along with you. People hear your jokes twice. You double your laughs.
Oh, wait a minute, Ed. Wait a minute. Say, who's talking to who?
Hold it, Ed.
Okay.
Yes, one thing at a time. Now, Mr. Guff, you mean to say that Brother Albany here can talk along with me no matter what I say?
That's the idea, Bud.
Okay. Get a small helping of this, Ed. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. When Peter Piper picked his peck of pickled peppers, people paid plenty to preview the peck of people pie with Peter Piper pick. Oh, shucks, I give up.
Gosh, that was wonderful, Mr. Allen.
Ed's a marvel of the age, folks. He'll talk any dialect or language you can name.
All right. Minerva Myers.
Yes, Fred.
Will you give Ed a dialect sentence just to check up on Mr. Guff here?
Yes, I'll be glad to. So listen, what is happening to me should happen only to a dog. This shall not be repeated. Boy, what's going on here?
Get the idea, folks? You'll have the first double talk program in radio.
Now, wait a minute. I'll give Ed one more test. I'll try one long test. You think, Mr. Ed Albany, you'll make a double talk with the Chinese G-man, Detective One Long Pun?
That's your answer, brother.
That's good enough for me, Ed. You're hired.
Hey, hold it a minute. What about the salary?
That's right, the salary. Now, Ed, we don't want to rush into things here. You know conditions, we have to give a little thought to this before we sort of make our agreement. I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 50 bucks. What did you say?
I get it. Tally ho!
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Merry Macs, a bit delayed, do their repeat number, Polly Wally Doodle.
Oh, I went down south for to see my Sal, singing Polly Wally Doodle all the day. My Sally and my spunky gal, singing Polly Wally Doodle all the day. Fare thee well, my fairy fay. For I'm going to Louisiana for to see my Susanna singing Polly Wally Doodle all the day. Oh, my Sally, she am a maiden fair, singing Polly Wally Doodle all the day. With curly eyes and laughing hair, singing Polly Wally Doodle all the day. Fare thee well, fare thee well, my fairy fay. For I'm going to Louisiana, to Susanna, singing Polly Wally Doodle doo 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 doo. Someday my Sal is gonna marry me, singing Polly Wally Doodle, and then how happy we are gonna be, singing Polly Wally Doodle. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well, my fairy fay. For I'm going to Louisiana for to see my Susanna singing Polly Wally Doodle all the day. Fare thee well, 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 my fairy fay. For I'm going to Louisiana for to see my Susanna singing Polly Wally Doodle all the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, following the popular trend in spring entertainment, we have a slight questionnaire for you in two parts. If you can answer no, honestly and sincerely, to the questions in the first part, you will be excused from participation in the second part. Question number one.
Do you ever wake up in the morning feeling grouchy and sluggish?
Question number two.
Does your morning's work seem such an awful task that you fold up in the afternoon?
Number three.
Do you feel dragged out by evening? Too tired to romp with the children.
Those of you who answered no to those questions may relax. The rest of you are invited to listen carefully to this next part.
Whenever you feel under par, ladies and gentlemen, and need a laxative, a sparkling glass of Sal Hepatica will quickly help you feel your best again. But it's very important that it be the famous Sal Hepatica. For if you take something with a laxative action only, you will be doing nothing to counteract gastric acidity, a condition usually present when the need for a laxative is indicated. So it may be some time before you feel like yourself again. But Sal Hepatica gives you double help, as so many people know and as so many physicians will tell you.
As a laxative, Sal Hepatica brings you speedy relief. As an antacid, Sal Hepatica counteracts gastric acidity. And those two actions naturally give you a quick comeback.
So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica at your nearest drugstore tomorrow. Soon your head's clearer and your pep is back, thanks to the double help of Sal Hepatica.
Oh,
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you those darlings of the whistle stops, the mighty Alan R. players. Tonight they foister on you a Tin Pan Alley episode called What's the Difference, A-R-E, Alley, as long as it's a side street. The Tin Pan Alley episode called The Music Publisher Needed a Tune, or He Thought He Had a Song in His Heart, but it turned out to be acute indigestion. Well, but you're Peter.
Hello, Sacco Song Publishing Company. No, Mr. Allen's busy. He's working on a new song. He still has two bars to go, the Waldorf and the Astor. Oh, yes, Mr. Allen always drinks before he composes. That's how he wrote, I got a feeling I'm falling. Okay, goodbye.
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Notes.
Phew, it smells as though somebody pulled a bung out of a kraut barrel.
Are you intimating that I have been contacting the grape and liquid guys?
I won't say that you've been drinking.
No.
No, but I will say your breath is taking the wave out of my hair.
Nothing like a potent nip to give a songwriter an inspiration, Miss Notes. Who published the dentist theme song, That Gold Fang of Mine? I did. Who published Alabama Mammy? I did. Who published Yes, We Have No Bananas?
Shapiro Bernstein.
Yes. But my sequel, No, We've Got Plenty of Eggplant, outsold them 2-1.
You haven't sold a song since that fish peddler bought a copy to wrap up a herring.
Ah, yes, that copy of At a Perfume Counter. The fishmonger was going home in the subway. He wanted to pianissimo the herring en route. Ah, this must be Toscanini again. Come in, Art.
No, it's Cooper, one of your songwriters.
Oh, come in, Coop.
I got it, Chief. Have I got a terrific idea?
Now, no understatement, Cooper. One speaks out in the music game. What is this brain moppet of yours?
It's a brand new mother song. Boom, 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 it's Mother's Day. Boom, 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 she's old and gray.
No. Mother is washed up today, Cooper. Mother went out with the peg-top pants.
Okay, I'll make it a father's song. Boom, 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 it's Father's Day. Boom, 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 he's old and gray. Boom, boom, boom.
No. It won't do, Cooper.
Well, it's a great melody, ain't it?
Ah, a great melody, I grant you. But those lyrics have got to have sentiment, Cooper. Put a tear into that chorus and we've got something.
A tear, huh? Okay, Chief.
Of all the paternal atrocities.
Cooper's a valuable man, Miss Notes. As morons go, Cooper's a genius. Answer that phone.
Sacco Song Publishing Company, hello.
Who is it?
Ding Honeypipes, the crooner.
Oh, yes. I'll take it. Hello, Ding. Now, don't get excited, Ding. I'll have you to have it for you at 4:00. Why, this song will be the biggest thing to come out of your neck since you had your goiter removed. Now, don't worry. Okay, Ding, old boy.
What's Ding's trouble?
Well, I promised him a southern song by 4:00. Boritz, my ace writer, is working on it at top speed. Ah, this may be Boritz now.
No, it's Gunch.
Gunch? Who is Gunch?
That fellow who thinks up rhymes for your lyric writers.
Oh, that pest. Why, his head is so full of jingles, he even talks in rhyme.
I'll show him in. Come in, stupid.
Hello, F.A. Can you spare a minute? I got something to say. Wait, I'll begin it.
Never mind your rhymes, Gunch. What is it?
I can't help rhyming. It's kind of a habit. It comes to me natural, like commuting to a babbit.
Hurry up, Gunch. Come to the point before I throw you out of the joint. Gad, man, you're making a negative guess out of me.
I'm used to speaking out without delays. Loosen up, tightwad. How about a raise?
Gunch, you're through. Come on, Skid Two.
That suits me swell.
You can go to... You can fill in your own rhyme. Why, that soggy long fellow, asking for more money at a time like this. Take a song title, Miss Note.
Yes, sir.
When your mare has turned to silver, will I be the Lone Ranger to you? Gad, what an idea.
I got it, Chief.
Now see here, Cooper.
Listen, F.A., I got the perfect Father's Day song. It's absolutely original, too.
Well, how does it go?
F is for the five spots he forks over.
Forks over.
A is for he's always in the way.
He said he's take in the
it
way.
A T is for his trimmings after drinking. And H is for...
No. H is for horse feathers, Cooper. Father sounds hokey. Make it a song about Dad with plenty of goo.
Okay, Chief, I'll give it plenty of goo, and I do mean goo. Goo, 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 use plenty of goo.
Something tells me there's a screw loose in this organization, Miss Nodes.
It could be the nut on top.
I have no answer.
Socko Song Company. It's variety.
What? My World's Fair song? My baby's blushing to be caught in flushing? What? It got so low, it fell out of the hit parade? It's down in the want ads? No, I won't pay the want ad rates. Take it out of your paper. Ah, this may be Boris with that southern song. Come in.
Where's the boss of this off-key enterprise? Show me the boss.
Well, I'm the boss, madam, if you stop brandishing that umbrella.
I ought to ram it down your throat and open it up.
You flatter my abdominal capacity, madam. If you have a complaint...
I just moved into the apartment across the street with my parrot.
We are not interested in true confessions, madam. This is a song publishing office.
But that's just it. My parrot's been hearing your song pluggers.
Song pluggers. They're not blubbers, madam. They're not pluggers, some of them, but the word is song pluggers.
My parrot's been hearing your song pluggers singing those swing songs.
Yes.
It's got him talking that way.
You mean that your parrot is talking swing?
Wait till I take the cover off his cage.
Pretty Polly.
Hello.
Pretty Polly.
Say something, Rudy.
She's a flat-footed floater when the fly, fly, whip it, whip it.
A swing parrot? I'll bet he's good at pecking.
Are you corny, brother? Pretty Polly.
Polly want a cracker?
Polly wants a jam. Whip it, whip it, whip it.
Why, you feathered upstart? I'd like to wet your neck and wring it.
Send me, brother, on Moulton. Oh, mama.
Stop it this instant, Rudy.
Bend down, sister. Bend down, sister.
Oh, this is awful, and it's all your fault, lame brain.
Well, I can't stop my songwriters from working, madam.
And I can't stop Rudy from swinging.
Well, you might. Quiet. I've got a line here. You might turn him loose and let him shag himself to death.
Let's go. Let's try. Whip-a-doodle-doodle-doodle-doodle.
Well, the Audubon Society will hear about this.
She's a flat-footed floaty when the fly, fly.
Dad, what a day. Hello? Ding, honey pipes? Yes, Ding. No, Boritz hasn't finished your southern song yet. Now, don't worry, you'll have it by 4:00. Yes, Ding. You bet, Ding. Okay, Ding. Goodbye, Ding. Almonds, Ding.
What's keeping Boritz?
Gad, if we don't get a southern song by 4:00, Socko loses honey pipes as a client. Why, we'll be bankrupt.
At long last, Chief, I got it.
Are you here with that father song again?
Yeah, I switched it around like you told me, Chief.
You made it a song about Dad?
I'll dad him to death. Get a load of this. Dad, you ever see a dream of walking? Well, I dad. Dad, you ever see a dream of talking?
Why, you redundant nincompoop.
Ow! Let go of my neck! My brother's a lawyer!
Then sue, bum.
Ow!
Gad, I haven't booted anything as true since the day I kicked off to Southern Methodist.
Speaking of the South, what about Ding Honeypipes?
Gad, it's almost 4:00.
Hiya, Chief.
Boritz at last. What kept you?
Working on that Southern song, I got taken to the bluegrass in Kentucky and it brought on my hay fever.
Gesundheit, and Honeypipes has been driving me crazy all day. Have you got his song ready?
Almost, Chief.
We've given Honey Pipes, or let me see, South in my heart, South in my soul, South in my mouth. What have you got this time?
South in my hair.
South in my hair. Terrific. His sponsor makes toupees. It's a great tire.
The lyric is finished. I'll have a tune in 30 seconds.
Now hurry, Boritz. We've got to make hay.
Hey!
Dad, it's 4:02. 30 seconds to write a tune, and in another 1:30, Ding Honeypipes will be here.
Here's Ding now.
Stall him, Miss Notes. Tell him I'm out to tea.
Oh, out to tea, are you? Well, take an orange peeker with this. It's my contract, torn to bits.
Now, Ding, keep your corsage on, old thing.
Oh, I'm a nervous wreck. I've torn my gardenia to shreds, and I love flowers.
Get the smelling salts, Miss Nolan.
Oh, never mind the smelling salts. Where's my song of the South?
Borich has it practically finished.
Practically? I've got to sing it on the air tonight.
Stop biting your nails. That red stuff will poison you.
Chief! Oh, Chief,
Gesundheit, and where is that song?
Yes, Boris, where is it?
I can't write the melody, Chief.
Oh.
You can't write the melody?
No, somebody's stolen my copy of Beethoven's symphonies.
But what has Beethoven got to do with South in my hair?
I've been collaborating with Beatty for years. I polish up his melodies and fit them to my lyrics.
Haven't you ever created a song yourself?
I'm no hymen. I get lonesome creating alone.
Look, it's 4 o'clock, F.A. You've broken your promise. I'm through.
This is your fault, Boritz. Socko Songs Incorporated will be through, too.
I got the lyric all finished, F.A.
But the tune.
Yes, I can't sing a song without a melody. Well, hey, nonny, nonny.
Hey! Choo!
Wait a minute, Ding. Boritz, do that sneeze again.
Oh, I can't right now, Chief.
Sneeze, Boritz, or I'll go haywire.
Hey! Choo!
That's it, Ding.
What? That sneeze?
That's your melody. Listen. Ah, ha, ha, ha. South in my hair. Why, it fits perfectly.
But I don't see how you can...
Give me that lyric, Boritz. Now, everybody, let's try it.
South in my hair. You are so fair.
You will be my little sharecropper. I will be your sharecropping popper. South in my hair. Gad, what a rondelay.
Oh, you're a genius, F.A. I'll make this another by mere bistu.
Well, I guess my sneeze saved the day, F.A.
Yes, Boritz, if your nose holds out, you'll be another Irving Berlin.
Thanks, Chief.
I'm going to do something for you, Boritz.
Am I getting a raise?
No, I'm taking you out and buying you all the beer you can drink.
What's the big idea, boss?
Well, who knows? With your talent, you might hiccup another thanks for the memory. Ladies and gentlemen, before we present our little dandy preview of next week's giant attractions, I wish you'd all tie a big piece of string around your radios so you'll be remember to be with us again next Wednesday. And Andre would like you to tie two smaller pieces of string around your fingers.
The first, to remember Ipana, a toothpaste that will help you to brighter teeth, healthier gums, and a more attractive smile. The second, Sal Hepatica, so that whenever you're sluggish and headachy, this famous mineral salt laxative can help you feel your best again quickly. Remember to get Ipana, Sal Hepatica at your drugstore.
Thank you, Andre. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall tonight brings you comedy. Drama.
You fool. Do you want me to lose my head?
No, lady. I'll get you another bag for your cabbage.
People you didn't expect to meet.
A young lady who designs and makes scarecrows. Unless you're an old crow and crow, tune in next week.
And music. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.